You have your copies of God's Word, if you would open them please to Matthew chapter 28. Text today, we'll be reading the first 10 verses, Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. Hear now the word of the Lord. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. And then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that you would use that word now. Touch our hearts, our lives. Lord, as we think upon the resurrection of our Savior, what it means for us as your people, of your great mercy and grace to us, Lord, let us truly comprehend the wonder of what has taken place, what it secured, and what it brings, and what it means for us for the future. Lord, teach us from your word, we pray this day. Our prayer is that we would hear your voice only. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Well, it's Easter Sunday morning, and I hope you know we're going to preach about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's only proper that we do so, since so much depends on these events for our good, not only in this life, but in the life to come. My prayer is that all would hear, that some would put their faith in Christ's completed work of redemption, attested to by his resurrection, and that God's people would have a renewed sense of thanksgiving and offer up praise and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ, to the further praise and glory of God the Father. As Martin Luther said, the time never comes when we have preached and heard enough concerning the significance of Christ's resurrection. We're not preaching anything new, but always without ceasing about that man who is called Jesus Christ, true God and true man, who died for our sins and rose for our justification. Yet even if we were to preach, he said, again and again about and dwell upon these events, we could never really exhaust the meaning, and I might add, never truly comprehend their true value. When Jesus died on the cross, there was a tremendous earthquake. Darkness covered the land, and men were terrified. That following Sunday morning, there was a tremendous earthquake, and there was not darkness, there was a brightness like lightning as Jesus rose from the dead. And the guards at the tomb were terrified. You know, the shaking and rending of the earth signifies that through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the whole world will be convulsed and shaken and moved and changed forever. Even the enemies of Jesus knew that his resurrection would convulse the world. He had told them on several occasions that his death would be followed by his resurrection from the dead. Thus, the various attempts by men to keep Christ in the tomb. The religious leaders went to Pilate, and their fear is manifest in their words if you look up in chapter 27, right above that, verse 63. They said to Pilate, "We remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day." You know, they had succeeded in getting Rome to execute the Prince of Life. They wanted to make sure he stayed dead. And I believe Pilate's exasperation shows through there. He's frustrated with these Jews. And it comes bursting forth. He said, "You have a guard." In other words, here's your detachment of soldiers. "Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went to the tomb, and they put a seal on this large stone that covered the mouth of the tomb. And so the weight of official Rome and the power of her army is standing guard to be sure that the dead body of the Lord Jesus stays put. You know, breaking that seal, that official Roman seal, could end up in your death if you violated that. And if the soldiers allowed their dead prisoner to escape, they themselves were subject to execution. That's about as secure as you can make it. Jesus is in the tomb, and man is determined to keep him there. But despite all their preparations and all the precautions, the earth began to tremble. The earth shook, and a brightness like lightning bathed the garden in brilliant, radiant light. An angel descended from heaven. The Lord Jesus rose from the dead, and the guards who were to keep him securely in the tomb were terrified. Everything was turned upside down. The dead man they were to guard was alive, and he was too awesome to behold. And the guards were so afraid that they became like dead men. Everything was reversed. They were literally and truly paralyzed with fear. The great stone, the official Roman seal, the guards, all the proof of man's determination to be sure Christ stayed in the grave were of no use. The Lord Jesus rose from the dead. The guards were terrified and totally and completely helpless. An angel of the Lord broke the seal as he rolled the stone away in preparation for the coming of the Lord's faithful followers, all women, by the way, early that Sunday morning. And even though these women would never try to hinder Jesus' resurrection, they act like those who believe it's all over. The sad reality of the cross on Friday had destroyed their hopes. They come to anoint his body, the final preparation for the burial, as the Friday burial was somewhat hurried. And this is not an expression of hope. It's an expression of despair. But the tomb of the Son of God is a place of light, not darkness. A place of hope, not despair. A place of life, not death. It is a place of terror for his enemies, but a place of wonder and comfort for those who love him. The guards are terrified, but the angel who put so much fear into them says to the women, what? Do not be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus. They were looking for Jesus, but they're looking for him in the wrong place and in the wrong way. Then came the announcement. He is not here. He's not here. That's one of the happiest sounds that ever fell on human ears. The great fact was declared. He is not here. You know, Christ's presence was a great blessing throughout his earthly ministry. The presence of Jesus Christ brought healing to some. It brought provision to others. It brought great blessings. It brought the good news to the poor. But the greatest benefit for all who believe, the good news is that he is not here in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. He's not here. He's risen. And those words are followed by a gentle rebuke to his followers. He's risen, just as he said. He's not been carried off. He's not been removed. He has been raised by the Father, as Paul wrote to the Romans. He was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. It is a testament to the completion of his work. It's a testament to his conquest over him who has the power of death. It's a testament that he is the Father's beloved Son in whom he is well pleased. He is risen, and now we see the full meaning of the words that he spoke at the tomb of Lazarus only a couple weeks before. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. A new kind of life. A life that is victorious over death. A life that transforms death into immortality and glory. Jesus had tasted death, but he did not see corruption. For he is the Holy One of God, and corruption cannot cling to holiness. As the beloved Son of the Father, he is risen from the dead. The Father loves him because he lays down his life for his sheep. And the resurrection is the Father's seal of acceptance of his completed propitiation for his people. That's God's stamp of approval on the work of Jesus Christ in dying in the place of his people. It is the risen Christ with whom the disciples had to do. And it is the risen Christ that we have to do with in our daily lives. Every way we go, every way we turn, the risen Christ meets us and says to us, because I live, you shall live also. The life that is in him is resurrection life. And all who believe in Christ, who believe in him who died, and rose again, are indeed risen with Christ. We are risen with Christ, and it is with the risen Christ that we have to do in our everyday life. Although it's true that the reality and the implications of the new life in Christ are not yet fully revealed, the fact that the life of the believer is, as Colossians 3 says, hidden with Christ in God. Assures us, excuse me, assures us of our future security. The promise of Scripture there in Colossians is simply that your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with Him in glory. What a promise. When Christ comes again, all those who are in Christ will be resurrected with new life and appear with Him in glory. And there's power. There's power in this risen life. It was Christ, the risen one, who said, "All power is given to me." It was in His power that He came forth from the grave. He told the disciples before the crucifixion, "No one takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again." It is in power. It was in the power of the risen life that He ascended. He ascended on high, leading captivity captive. It is to this power that the risen life that we can partake in, and we can flee from our weakness and our fears. And in the strength of the Lord, He says we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And it is in the power of this risen life that He will come again in glory, the judge of all the earth. So as John said, 1 John 4:17, we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like Him. We're risen with Him to new life, and we can face that day with confidence. Being like Him brings the joys of the risen life. Jesus was a man of sorrows, the Scripture says, and acquainted with grief. But that Easter morning at the resurrection, His full joy began. We read earlier, Pastor Haley read you earlier, a very close connection between the resurrection and joy. There in Psalm 16, as he said, even in the Old Testament, we see these things. The psalmist said, "You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You made known to me the path of life," that is resurrection, "and you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." For Christ, the risen life was joy. Not only because it ended His connection with death, not only because it sealed His victory over death, but because it also introduced Him into the fullness of joy, a joy that is unique to the risen life, a joy that is yet future. It's out there in the future for those who believe. The resurrection of the body, a glorious body like that of the risen Christ, when He comes in glory for His bride, the church. And we look for this by faith, in joyous anticipation. As Peter said, "Even though you do not see Christ now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy." He is our joy, because we are going to be like Him. New, glorious bodies fit for eternity. And the joy is grounded in our hope of risen life. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's our hope. Our hope is connected with the risen life of Christ. The hope we have is the hope of an inheritance kept in heaven for us, a kingdom, a city, the glory of which belongs only to the redeemed, those for whom Christ died and rose again for their justification. The resurrection of the Son of God is our guarantee of this blessed hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the truth of Scripture. The truth of Scripture regarding what it means to be risen with Christ. The power, the joy, and the hope of that new life. Because He's not here. He's risen. And the more that we grasp this wondrous truth, the fact that if we truly believe we are risen with Christ, the greater will be our spiritual health and holiness, and the more our Christian walk will grow in power and joy and hope. So the risen Christ is what we preach, and it should be our message through our individual lives as well. You know, it's a great thing to tell someone without Christ of our personal knowledge and conviction that Christ is risen and that there is therefore hope for all people who will but believe. These simple words, He's not here, He is risen. Those are the gospel. They're good news for the sinner buried in ignorance and unbelief. The empty tomb proclaims everlasting life through Him who died and rose again. It proclaims forgiveness. It proclaims reconciliation with God through the accepted sacrifice of Jesus Christ, finished at the cross and sealed and attested by the resurrection. Peace with God through Him who left the tomb and now sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for His people, making intercession for all who believe. The pardon is free. The inestimable, incalculable benefits of Christ's death and resurrection are there for the taking. They're offered freely. Pray, sinner, that the Holy Spirit would roll away the hardness of your heart and declare to your closed mind that Christ is risen and that in Him you too may be raised to new life. Let's pray. Father, how we thank You. How we thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the perfect sacrifice for our sin. And He paid that price, terrible price. He bore Your wrath there on Calvary for His people, for everyone who would believe. And Lord, You set Your seal of approval on that sacrifice. You attested to the fullness and sufficiency of it by raising Him from the dead, the glorious new body, resurrection body, a body that promised to all those who will but believe in Christ, who will put their faith in Him, who will repent of their sins. Lord, how we thank You. The wonder of it, the beauty of it, we cannot comprehend. And the value of it, all eternity will not be long enough for us to grasp as we bask in the glory of Your presence. Lord, what a wondrous thing it is Lord, we pray that you would work in the hearts of those who do not know, many that we do know. Lord, pray that we would have the opportunity, the courage, and the boldness to share with them the joy, the privilege of the risen life that's only in Christ. Lord, that they might hear, that your Spirit might indeed change their hearts, give them new hearts, that they might believe and be saved. That it might be for your glory and your honor. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.